welcome to the review cast from Press X to Start. This week, we're going to be reviewing Monster Hunter World. But before we jump in, here's a quick message. Hey, everyone. This is Cameron. I want to take a moment to tell you where you can find all of our Press X media. Starting first with our website. Go there to PressX2Start.com. There, you can find a bunch of cool stuff. Also, you can find us on Facebook at PressX2Start. You can find us on Twitter at PressX2S and our Instagram page at PressX2Start. And if you want to listen to old episodes, new episodes, you can find us on your favorite podcasting app. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, whatever. Simply for Podbean, just look at PressX2Start.podbean.com. Thanks. All right. Why are we doing this review cast, DJ?
All right. So the reason why we're doing this is because for the last two podcasts, we kind of skipped our what we've been playing section. And that's because we've had a lot of time and we wanted to dedicate a lot of time to Monster Hunter World. Because last year, we all decided that, hey, we're going to play this together loosely, and we're going to talk about this game. So this is the culmination of that time spent in that game. So we'll kick it off to Avery, who has the proper setup of how we're going to deal with Monster Hunter.
Okay, so since we're calling this a review and not like a spoiler discussion or like a impression discussion, this is something I want to, for us as a group, to come at it from a more critical, objective lens.
Gotcha.
We still put our subjective thoughts out there.
Right.
But ultimately, we're trying to see the good, what's the bad, and what like objectively is a bad decision going on in this game's design. So I took a break. I broke it down into six categories: story, gameplay, game design, art design, sound, and graphics. So we're going to take some time to discuss each and every one, bring our pros and our cons, just use those as a springboard to have some discussion. So firstly, on the story, I think it's fine.
On the story, So I played other games. So this kind of reminds me back to, we always talk about, and Avery and Marcus always trash us about Dragon's Dogma.
Okay, I was about to bring it up.
But the reason why, this is one of those times where, for all Dragon's Dogma's faults, one thing it does well in terms of story, where you have a silent protagonist, is that it still feel like you are still driving the vehicle and that you ultimately matter. And so here, what story?
Like, yeah.
I mean, you're just jumping in and you're hunting monsters and you're just going through the loop. To me, this kind of reminds me of
you are death. Literally going into a monster's home and be like, "Hey, yo, bitch, I'm gonna kill you now."
Yeah. Okay, so, and then like, the Zora Mandos, like, okay, sure. I mean, he's doing all this because he's about to die, and so you help him die.
I think there is a very interesting sort of like Hayao Miyazaki meets traditional Monster Hunter.
Okay.
Narrative going on, like the idea that they're a commission is here to investigate these elder dragons, trying to understand where they're what their entire deal is.
Right,
that's an interesting premise. My problem is that beyond your character not really having any agency, is that just the story is not the main focus of the game.
It's not
someone who really likes,
and you tell about 3 or 4 hours in, that story's not the main focus of the game. Like, you come into the game as a monster hunter of the fifth rank?
Fifth fleet,
right. So there are four other fleets before you.
They've been there for apparently like 30 or something odd years.
Yeah.
Since one person was born here.
Or, yeah. Like, for example, like, when you go to the first desert map, right? And the guy saves you. And you're like, oh, this dude. And then it's like, okay, well, so, all right, what's important about this dude? And then it's like, anyway, next to the next map.
Right, yeah.
And, like, okay.
And then you kind of, the story unravels loosely.
Yeah, literally.
When you find out, like, oh, you got to talk to the people of the first fleet and people of the third fleet. And it's like, I wish they delved a bit more into that. But then I also understand that this isn't that kind of game.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I kind of laugh at this story because, like, Destiny 1 had a better story than this.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right. But I understand that, yes, this is a Japanese game.
But no,
and
I think Destiny 1 had better lore.
I think it has a better story.
It had a better story.
At least it had a story.
Yeah.
This doesn't... So here's... This also gets into my point about... I think gaming media in general has a particular bias towards this game. Mm. And so here's what I mean by that, right? In the same way, game journalists review Bethesda games, where they say, "Oh, this is a flaw. This is the flaws. It's going to be."
But they accept it because it's a Bethesda game.
Here's a 9. Here's a 10.
Right.
Here's an 8. And so the same way with Monster Hunter, where even before the game came out, everybody was like, "It doesn't have a story. It doesn't have this. It doesn't have these things. This is the way Monster Hunter has always been." And so you get a game that, for the most part, a story that's non-existent. You just jump in there and you just cut up stuff. And the game's being like, okay, cool, this is cool. This is what we know Monster Hunter to be.
Right.
Now, the good thing about that, as someone who's first time playing Monster Hunter, that set the expectation. I'm not particularly upset exactly. about the story or anything right. like that. But I just want to be clear, if we're going to be reviewing story, we're reviewing nothing, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, there is plot points, but in terms of a story, it's not much there.
I don't care why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm just doing it.
Exactly. And really and truly, like, these events happen really to teach you how to play the game.
Yes. Every story beat is designed to get you to a new area of monsters.
Right.
So you can hunt and slay.
Right.
You say teach you how to play the game. Let's put that in quotations.
Teach, yeah.
Teaches
yeah.
very loosely.
Bruh.
YouTube has taught me how
to play exactly. the game. I was about to say same thing, yo. YouTube has been my biggest teacher for Monster Hunter.
Let's jump from story to game design. Because okay. You all have been learning from YouTube. I have not. Boy. So we'll go from there.
How are you?
You've been reading the tutorials?
Yeah, I've read all the tutorials.
Tutorials?
But here's my issue with the tutorials. For example, something like capturing a monster, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was hard to capture it, but then when I jumped to a game where I actually was invited to capture a monster, the tutorial was there. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, I didn't know, like, for example, the little hunger sign, the little skulls, or the heartbeat,
yeah.
that it was a tee up to actually being able to capture the monster. That's something you had to, like, I had to go find that out. Yeah. That wasn't a tutorial, though.
And for me, well, in terms of game design, outside of some really obtuse holdovers from old Monster Hunter games,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I sort of embraced the obtuseness of it.
Okay.
Like, I played, I saw that sensor on the bottom of the screen, and I'm like, that's its heartbeat. I wonder what it means.
Yeah.
And then over time, I'm like, oh. And I just clicked. This is the moment I need to do X.
Yeah.
Same with the hunger medium. Like, it's obtuse in a way where
how
the answer is
hungry, though. I mean, besides you see
so, yeah, you see the sign.
Yeah.
You see the little mouth thing.
Yeah. And then, like, if you're hunting Jagras, great Jagras for, like, an entire week, and, like,
You notice, okay, he's going, hungry and he to go goes to, yeah.
Actually,
so, like, gotcha. For me, like, okay, and when it comes to the design of this game, I think the design of this game is pretty amazing. But when I say that, I mean, I think the game mechanics are amazing. But the actual taking the design and giving that to the user, I think that's where the problem lies. Because we have all of these really cool and intricate systems. Like, I haven't even used, like, poisoned meat or, like, tinged meat or any of that stuff. And, like, that's just another avenue of how to interact with monsters to make them act a certain way so you can either capture them or kill them or do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
And, like, that's cool that those options are there. I haven't even, like, created custom, like, food, like, platters to eat.
Yeah.
And, like, there's so many different things that you can do in this game. But taking all that stuff and telling the user, hey, you can do this stuff, or showing them how to do this stuff, it's just not, I mean, it might be there in the tutorial, but it's not given to the user in a edible way.
And I agree with you, and I think part of it, one, starts with the menus itself. Like, the menus are god-awful
and
clunky. So, for example, one of the reasons why I don't, like, I remember when I first saw this game, I wanted to play with the bow gun, both light or heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I did not was the idea that I would have to craft ammo on the fly.
Yeah.
That means I would have to go into that menu.
Yeah.
That clunky menu.
And actually have to craft it, yeah.
While somebody's
but
beating me down.
I've
seen people do it on YouTube.
But
I've seen it happen.
But you know what you can do?
What?
You could put the crafting thing onto your shortcuts. Don't put it on shortcut 2 because that shit doesn't save. Which is some fucking bullshit.
It doesn't
it doesn't save. No, I don't know if that's a bug in the game, but there's been about, I'm going to say, four times where I have laid out my shortcut number two.
Yeah.
Which to explain to the audience, shortcuts are a quick way to do certain tasks that you might have to go into menus to do. So like you can like drink a potion, you can eat a food ration, which boosts your stamina. You can just do a bunch of stuff. But for some reason, the shortcut number two doesn't save. So I had ran into a combat situation where I was completely prepared. I had all my shortcuts set up for so I can trap this monster. I got the monster all the way down, went to shortcut. None of the stuff was there. I ended up fumbling around with like moving through the actual systems to get the actual shock trap that I needed.
Yeah.
The damn thing got up and ended up killing it by mistake. I was so pissed. And like, I don't understand, like, I don't know how to save it. I don't know how that works.
Or one of the other most infuriating things.
And that shouldn't happen. I've put in more than 50 hours in this game.
Is 83.
Oof. Probably like 30 or 40.
Yeah.
But the other infuriating thing is the multiplayer aspect.
Oh.
I mean, that kind of part of the game design, right?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Jesus.
So the multiplayer, right? You, particularly if you're doing this hub world, and it's not a new concept, particularly since most games nowadays are moving to this hub world, mm-hmm. jump in, jump out type mm-hmm. of gameplay. And so it was infuriating because you're thinking, okay, well, if my friends are on the same session, I should be able to just jump in.
Yeah.
And then you find out the quickest way to do it is either turn on your PlayStation. Oh, by the way, let your game be updated to the one that they're playing.
That is important.
And then, oh, let them get to the cutscene first.
That's also important.
Then turn on the PlayStation and then hit join session. And yeah. Still hope that it works.
Yeah.
But then that doesn't even take you into their actual game.
Nope.
It just brings you into the hub world
yeah.
session
that they inhabit.
And
yep.
then you still have to go to the post and says join game.
Right.
And so, like, that's extremely, like, I remember when we first did it, we spent, probably about 20 minutes
yeah.
trying to, like,
yeah.
get into each other's game?
Yeah.
I mean, now, granted, when we got in, it was wonderful. Oh, the scaling. Oh, my. Let's. Oh, okay. So, here's another issue.
That's a game design thing.
What the scaling is.
It's garbage.
Horrible.
It is absolutely garbage.
One of the core reasons why I don't play multiplayer
yeah.
with you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks a lot, Avery, for leaving us hanging.
No. He has a point, though.
Like, the minute you join someone's match, the monster will scale up to as if four people are
yeah,
playing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's only beneficial
it
if you have
your
four
two
people.
Palicos as two other people
which is
as well.
Which is stupid. Which is absolutely stupid because my palico does not do anywhere near the amount of damage that I do myself. So it's just like that. That's dumb. So no. Yes. Mike Palico has saved my life, but in terms of dealing damage against yeah. the monster I'm fighting, not even close.
Like, yo, we almost. I think about, for example, when we did that arena challenge.
Yeah.
With the two Baroth and the Diablos.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah. How long did that take us?
Yeah. Like it was so ridiculous. Like last night, I was playing a game. I think this was another bug when it comes to multiplayer, but I had joined a arena match. I was fighting one of the bone monster,
I know what you mean. He rolls around, right?
Yeah, he rolls around. Yeah, I was fighting that thing, and I was in a match with two other people. I had a network connection error, and it put me in just a match with myself and that the monster. So I don't know if the network error had caused the bug in the game where the monster
Radaban.
Okay, yes. So I don't know if the network connection error had put a bug in the game where I was in that match with the Radaban and it had the same number of health that it would if I was in a network match with other people.
So then you're like sitting there because like one, that's not a difficult monster. Itself, he just rolls around.
No, but I will say that he also was high level or high rank.
Yes.
So he had more health to begin with. But, like, that literally took me four fucking ever. And I was so mad. Like, my wife and a couple friends were, like, down here while I was playing. And, like, my wife got upset at me because I was so upset at the game. Like,
that makes sense.
The scaling between high level and low or high rank and low rank is very much so unbalanced
yeah.
because all they do is they boost the health of the creatures you're fighting.
No, they but boost health and damage.
Oh well, yes, yeah, and damage. Right. But like, that's for a game that is as deep as this game is. That's not what I would expect when you're dealing with a high ranking monster. Like I would want like there is more other systems at play.
And then what makes it particularly annoying is the fact that you're already not coming in doing tons of damage.
That too. So and like
very rarely you can be doing like triple digits in damage. Unless yeah. You're like very high ranked, like Avery.
I'm not high ranked. I just use a weapon that can put out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So oh, like, yeah, and the thing is like another thing, watching a bunch of YouTube videos.
That was not you. That was us with a car in the background being the tone. Continue.
So another issue when it comes to game design is the fact that the attack number that they show in the menus is not the actual attack number. There is a bunch of different things that go into it, and that number changes all the time. So weapon like
sharpness.
Yeah.
Boost
and critical hits.
Affinity.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of other systems.
Also, like affinity and critical. Like, why don't you guys just say one, keep like one thing consistent? And it's just like, there's so many things.
That is more of a role playing thing because, like, in most role player games, your critical hits are determined by your luck parameter. It's not the same. I think that's what they're going for with this.
Oh, okay.
Because for a long time, I didn't know what it meant until you passed out in the Slack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Y'all told me.
Yeah.
Until Avery told me, too. So, you want to go down to gameplay?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's pretty much the next...
Well, though, ultimately... I played Monster Hunter before this. Yeah, I didn't get that deep into it. I played Monster Hunter Tri for the Wii.
Yeah.
I think I hated it because of the Wii, and I think it was just... I did not know what was going on.
Yeah.
Just like, I just wanted to hunt big monsters.
Yeah.
Like, it was taking forever to hunt big monsters in that game. So I'm like,
oh, let me put this out there, by the way. The ability, or the fact that you can jump onto your monsters and hold on tight to them, where that came from? Dragon's Dogma.
But what they should learn from Dragon's Dogma was the actual ability to be able to do it easily.
Yeah, that's another thing, too.
Because... Yeah.
That's really confusing.
See, now we're getting the gameplay. So
So
I jumped into this game and I figured I'm gonna pick one weapon and stick to it.
Yeah.
I tried a bunch in the tutorial level and I'm like, none of them felt as cool as using a gun lance. And I wanna say the first couple of hours of me playing this game were super frustrating because the movement in this game is very animation centric.
Yep.
So, like, the minute you make a movement, the animation is locked, and you can't do anything else.
Right.
And so, with the gun lance, which is all about these big moves,
I would
just get rocked. But then I kept playing and playing and playing, and eventually the animations became second nature. Every once in a while, I'd fuck up and not be able to do the move I was doing. But I think that was more me than the game.
Yeah.
But, like, ultimately, I realized the rhythm of how to use this effectively.
Right, right.
And... from a gameplay standpoint, I actually really love the combat because it makes the fights harder. Like, if you, like, this isn't Devil May Cry, where, like, every animation can flow effortlessly into every other animation, and you feel like you're dancing on the battlefield. This is a game where you're fighting a giant monster, and it's much stronger than you, and you're fighting it with a stick. And the game makes you feel like you're fighting it with a stick.
As someone who's, like, experimenting with, like, I probably experimented with the most weapons.
Maybe.
Because I started out with the hammer, then went to the gun, insect glaive, then the long sword, then the switch axe, then to the charge sword, and now I'm using the sword and shield.
Okay. Are you using sword and shield now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, after ours. So here's what I'll say. The animation thing, it really depends on the weapon you're using.
Exactly.
So, with the longsword, what I loved about it was you actually could cancel out your animations to get out of the way. And you could do, like, the slice them up thing. But what will ruin it for you is the camera. And so my thing was, that camera is awful. And so you're wasting animations, you're wasting stamina because the camera has to spun back around or you had to like relock back onto the enemy.
So you use the locking feature.
There's two different cameras. There's the standard free camera and then there is the lock on camera.
Right.
So I lock, I press R3 to lock onto the monster, and then like the camera's free flowing, and I can still turn it around.
Yeah.
But then eventually I just press L1, so that way
you'll focus back on the monster.
Right.
Okay.
I never use the lock on camera because I quickly realized that it's not designed to be like a action game lock on.
Yeah.
And point your body directly to that. It's designed so you know where the monster is.
Yeah. So okay, when it comes to gameplay, like I think Cam, you've probably tried like maybe. Okay, so
I still haven't found the weapon. I like the longsword. My issue with it became fighting the Diablos.
Yeah.
Because longsword has a counter, but
it's harder to do when you're fighting a Diablos.
Exactly. Right. And I was getting wrecked because I don't have anything else to protect myself. And it's
kind
of hard to move out the way. And so I still haven't found a weapon that I love.
Yeah. So, like, I've come to the conclusion that, like, So the way that I'm playing this game is polar opposite to the way like you're playing Avery. You're playing this game. Like I've come to the conclusion that I need a long range weapon and a damage dealing weapon. Oh. So as it is right now I am balancing between the bow.
Yeah,
between the bow and probably the charge blade, I'm thinking. Because charge blade does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It offers quick attacks when you're in the shield and sword mode. It has a shield so you can block. Yeah. And then it does a lot of damage when you have the charge axe feature or whatever going on. So I've come to the conclusion that like specific monsters, I have to fight them in particular ways. So like as it is right now, like I'm using primarily the bow and I'm kind of hitting the wall in terms of how much damage I'm dealing. Like, the combos that I'm doing right now, like, I can get, like, a good amount of damage. Yeah. But it's kind of weird because it also kind of goes with the game design where, like, I'm doing damage, but I feel like the matches are still, like, drawing on and on and on. And,
that's one of the, on that to using two different weapons things, mm-hmm. I recently started the game out, and I'm like, I'm going to use this gun lance. Because I thought it had long range and close range and all that.
Yeah.
It does to a certain extent, but not in a specific way that I kind of need it to be.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll pick up a bow and I'll pick up the long sword. And for the first, I'm going to say, 10 hours of the game, I was making all of them. But then when I opened up the second skill, the second tree of weapons, and I realized how many different weapons and all the shit I would have to make them, and it's not going to work.
Yeah,
so I focused entirely on one weapon.
That's actually what I did.
The reason why I started with the Switch Axe, because I originally loved the Switch Axe, because it gave me the ability to do damage, and then especially when you have that like ramp up chainsaw.
Yeah,
It was great, but the problem was when you're fighting a fast monster. And so that's
all wasted animation.
The longsword because I can still get the damage because longsword does a ton of damage.
Yeah.
Tons of damage, particularly if you like charge up the demon spirit meter. Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's just the issue is just like you fight a flying monster or something or a Diablo.
Exactly. And like that's actually why I switched to bow because it got to the point where the monsters I was fighting they would be further away from me than closer. And, like, that's where I wanted them. I didn't want them close because, one, the camera is a problem.
Yeah.
And the animations is a problem. And when it comes to you doing damage versus the monster literally running its animation while you're hitting it, that's also a problem. So, like, when you are close up to the monster, unless you are doing a ton of damage, unless you have, like, your stun attack completely up, like, you're at a disadvantage. Or unless you have a shield. And I had none of those. So it was just like, I need to be further away yet in dealing damage. The problem with this game, and it is solely based on a game design choice, is the fact that they set particular ranges for the ranged weapons.
Yeah.
So bullets will disappear after a certain range. Arrows will disappear after a certain range. And it's just like, at least, like, just reduce the damage. Like, let me fire a bow. Like, if I can see the monster all the way down
and
there.
That's the core reason why I didn't like the bow when I started.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
I came from Horizon where like a bow felt perfect.
Yeah.
And I came to this and like, why can't I shoot this guy from 10 feet away?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, apparently,
it's bullshit.
With the dragon pincer on this, you know, on the bow, like that doesn't have a range though.
No. It disappears after a while too.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw a YouTube
video. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The joint from like 20 miles away.
That was weird because like I was like I didn't know that you could do that.
Yeah.
So like I shot it, disappeared. Fuck this.
And so the other thing I like about the hammer that none of the other weapons have is like the ability, like you realize how important it is to be able to stun these monsters.
Yes.
But the problem is the hammer's so damn slow.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things like with the hammer I really enjoy was that, like I was stunning these monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can't because I sacrifice like mobility.
Yeah.
The gun lance and how I sort of gotten into the rhythm of it and why I love it so much as a weapon, beyond the fact that it has a shield, which took me halfway through my gameplay style with it to realize, oh, this has a shield, which can block a shit ton of damage, is its ability to do persistent and huge bits amounts of damage.
Yeah.
Like, you once you launch the sort of the gun bit on it, it will do like 10 little hits in like 2 seconds and then one big one.
Yeah.
Which if you hit at the right moment, will pretty much stun and knock down.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
And then like its jump attack, which I've learned is like it's got ammo, it's got shells.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a certain jump attack and use the correct weapon combo, he will use all the shells at once in one long burst.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
because I actually like sat down and was like, you know, because this is after you were, like, kind of praising Gunlance. So I actually, like, sat down and watched a YouTube video of, like, the combos and stuff. And, like, that's one thing I love about this game in terms of game design, although we're talking about gameplay, is they took care with each of the weapons and gave them, like, there's a base level way of playing it, but then there is a pro level way of using the weapons.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
one thing
it's pretty
I
cool.
I love so much about the Gunlance, I think it's the one reason I use it all the goddamn time, is that whole Buster Rifle thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's a whole, oh, monster sleeping, let me drop a bomb right in front of
it,
Gunlance, Buster mode, and just like, that's how I get those triple digit damage.
Because it just
takes out
everything.
It's so powerful, it will knock out other players around me when I'm playing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But my problem with, so, like, I started out with Gunlance, too, and the reason why, like, I didn't stick with one, because, like, when you have to fight those little baby joggers, like, they will
They're so quick.
Because they surround you.
Yeah.
And then the, after you do, like, the blast, like,
there's a cooldown.
And I don't know how long is that cooldown.
It depends. There are some skills and equipment and game design thing that you're there's some certain skills that will lower the amount of time it will like needs to cool down.
Mm.
But for me, I only use it at choice moments. Like if I knock the monster down, I finish my main combo, Gunland Buster Rifle mode.
Yeah.
And so the next time I knock it down, more than not, it's already cooled down. So I'm gonna say 30 seconds to a minute.
You know how to make yourself with Gunland.
I love it. There's no other weapon. I love the gun lance because it's so cool.
Yeah.
Like I only picked it because of the cool factor.
Okay.
I'm about to...
Yeah. In terms of
I'm
cool factor,
to no weapon here.
Yeah. In terms of cool factor, I like the charge blade because I just like the idea that like you have a sword, shield, and then you also have that like dope looking axe.
Yeah.
And like it does, like it kind of works as the charge axe. Where you do the like consistent like and same thing with the gun lance as well, where you do that consistent level of damage and it's like goo 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 poof.
Yeah.
But like with the charge act or with the charge blade,
I know he's like the long reach.
Yeah, the hit is only it's only a slice.
Yeah.
You can continue moving while that hit is like procting.
Oh wow.
So yeah, so like it gives you like there is a level of mobility with the charge blade that I didn't really see with the other like heavy hitting weapons.
And you can also put like the files.
Yeah,
the
you could store them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a quick question because I've only used one real weapon, so I don't really know. Do any of your attacks use your stamina?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think it does for the Gunlance. At least
really?
If it doesn't, I've never noticed.
You didn't notice it?
Notice it. The only time my stamina has ever gone down while using it is when the monsters hit me when I'm guarding.
Yeah.
But in terms of like actual using it as a weapon, I've never noticed that the stamina has gone down.
I'm
interesting.
Because
with the insect glaive, it uses your stamina when you're doing
like,
attacks.
When I was using the bow.
Yeah.
I was using the bow like every shot.
Yeah.
My stamina.
That is probably like the thing that see like I love the bow in terms of I can hit from a range, I can do damage, I can stun monsters like crazy. and I can break a lot of pieces with the arc shot.
Yeah.
That damage counts as stun damage. So, like, stuff like that is awesome. But the amount of stamina that it takes every shot when you shoot with the bow is just like, come on, give me, yeah.
So, right. Let's move on from gameplay and talk about art design. I think the game's art design is my favorite part of the game from a design standpoint. I love that designs of the monsters are very interesting in that, for the most part, they're just taking the exact same model and just changing its cosmetic design enough to make it look completely distinct.
Between low rank and high rank.
No, not even that. Like, the Kulu, the birthday with the rock, has the exact same model as the one with the head fringes.
Oh, the joint that stuns you with.
Yes. It, like, yeah. That's the exact same model. They just,
That
bothered me when I got there. But then as I kept seeing all the individual like character designs, I was like, oh, this is super cool. Like the other Garon is just like the Tobikachi, except all muscle and slightly bigger.
Okay, so let me.
My issue is really with the characters. Like the look of the characters.
The characters themselves.
Because you know, like.
But wait. Okay, just to go on the whole monster thing. So for me, I kind of went a weird, like, scientific approach with this, where, like, I did also notice that, like, oh, like, this monster looks similar to this monster.
Yeah,
this monster
looks similar. They move the exact same.
Right. Way. But for me, it was sort of like, I don't know why I went this tangent, but I was like, there was literally a deviation in the family tree. They had the same ancestors, but because this one lived in Rotten Vale for so long and this one lived in the wherever ancient forest.
Like,
coral plains or whatever.
I just love how distinctly awesome all the monsters look.
Yeah.
Even when they because what's very cool about this game, and we talked about this off mic, is that they pretty much made brand new monsters for all of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. There is I'm going to say conservatively, maybe 100 other monsters they've had from other Monster Hunter games that aren't in the game as they are currently. Yeah. And they can draw from and put it in. It's just DLC and extra stuff going forward.
Right.
And, like, for all of these to be new and unique looking cool tells you, like, from a design standpoint, really, really drives me. And then, like, the armor, like,
it really plays with the monster that you just killed.
I love the way the armor looks.
Yeah, me too.
Even when you have to mix and match things, you look like a weirdo.
Yeah.
I still like the way every armor design has its own unique sort of look.
Yeah.
And you really feel that when you look at the Palico, because then when the Palico like takes on like, for example, it looks like a Chinese or
Adagon.
The Adagon, yeah.
The demon mask.
Yeah, so for me, The armor design is very much so a hit and miss at times. The biggest culprit is a Diablo set, where you're just brown horns ever. I'm just like, this isn't even practical. Like, come on. But overall, like, I do like the armor design. I do like the art direction in this game.
And then like, I don't like the character. So I don't like the design of the character. One, you know, character creator is like,
thing.
Yeah. And so the one, I can't make a properly black person. So, boom, there's that.
Okay, yeah.
I don't like the hair choices. I don't like the face choices.
Are you playing as a guy or girl?
I'm playing as a girl now.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember my first one. But then when you look at, the reason why I also said it too, there when you look at, when you do those big cutscenes where everybody's at the table, there's really no diversity in terms of the way the characters look. So you have this massive amount of diversity in terms of, like, monsters and all that, which is the main point. It's Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And then you're going to force me into this story where I have to engage in these characters. I can't skip. And I can't skip the cutscenes.
Oh, you can't?
No.
I guess I just never been in a position where I wanted to skip the cutscene.
Yeah, I've never been in the point where
I have, because what's the point of watching this cutscene?
Right.
But,
okay, I see.
And so I got to look at these characters, and every character looks essentially the same.
Well,
like, the dude that comes up to you and says, "Hey, buddy, welcome to the Monster Hunter." You want a little, like, sparkly patch? He literally looks just like the old guy who's, like, the general.
Who's the first guy?
You know the guy that comes up to you when you get on the boat? And he's like, "Hey." He has a little red hair patch.
Oh, you're, like, friend guy that you never really see in the entire game. Except for, like, one or two at a time. Yeah.
He literally looks almost exactly the same as the old general guy.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And the guy who has the Buster Sword.
Buster. Oh, that guy. Yeah.
I didn't see, when you were talking about how everyone in that, like, those big crowd scenes look the same, I'm like, they all look completely uniquely different to me.
Yeah, okay.
I've said this multiple times, we've had these discourse, yeah, that, like, character creators never really, for the most part, I don't like, one of my least favorite things.
More diversity in the palicles than in the actual people.
Yeah. One of my least favorite things I had to do in this game was build a character, because that immediately set the tone of how this game sort of narrative was going to go for me.
Okay.
And once I made my character, I'm like, she seems fine. She seems cool.
Yeah.
And then I played the game, and I'll get you, like, the NPCs just wandering around. They are, like, boringly generic looking characters. But all the, like, main people you have to talk to have their own unique style and design that sort of sets them apart. So, that you could probably, in the character creator, build yourself if you wanted to. But
so here's, okay, actually, bro, interesting point. And this goes, sorry, jumping back. But what's the whole point of this hub world? If you got these random NPCs walking around, well, you really, in theory, just put other players in the thing. So that way, it's stupid. What's the point of going upstairs to the squad space?
Yeah, to go stupid. Back to the multiplayer thing.
Sorry.
For me, looking at the design of this game, it is painfully apparent that multiplayer was the last thing they added.
Well,
because this was not built for multiplayer.
No, well, that's my thing. To that end, I would always say that this is how Monster Hunter has always worked in terms of multiplayer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's unfortunate.
It's not that multiplayer was the last thing they thought of. It was
their system.
This is how multiplayer has always worked for them. Because it was always an ad hoc game.
So it's always been bad.
Yeah.
I've been telling you guys this since the game started.
The idea of it being an ad hoc game, but like not really understanding what that meant, I think that's where the barrier was.
Yeah.
So like now that we see like ad hoc as in like you play online based off of quests, not off of party.
Every quest creates an instance of a world that you are the host of,
right,
and you bring other people into your instance. It's not like, say, Destiny or, to a certain extent, Division, where you wander around a giant open world and there are just people there.
Yeah, too bad this game is called Monster Hunter World.
Well, I think the world. The art direction, like, one of my favorite things is, one of the reasons I spent so much time gathering armor is because I just loved every time I hunted a new monster and I got to see, okay, what does this monster's armor look like?
I love that. That's the first thing I do at that kill. Even though I may not have the armor piece, I go straight.
To see, like, what it, essentially, for me, that's sort of like a little, like, loot box kind of thing. Because it's like, oh, I got materials to see what it's going to be like.
Monster Hunter World full of loot boxes. You kill a monster, it just gives you random loot.
That's
sometimes
true.
Sometimes what you're not looking for.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's the art design, great. Sound, I think it's fine.
You don't talk, so.
And I honestly don't pay attention to the voice acting. Like, I've heard a lot of people call out bullshit at the, like, lip syncing for this game. Like,
I don't care.
Never paid attention to the words coming out of people's mouths.
Yeah.
When you give me a game and it gives me subtitles, I'm gonna read the subtitles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
just find the handler's voice annoying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
None of this stuff bothers me because that's not something I pay attention to at all, really.
It bothers me that every cutscene, she just jumps into danger without a weapon. And I'm like,
seriously?
She is the reason
why I'm not. What is you doing? Like, I'm not going to save you all the time. Like,
we can't leave this girl. We got to go help her. Well, first of all, she wouldn't be in danger if you didn't jump out there.
Yeah. Like, seriously, everything you do, I could do at that board over there. So I don't need you. I don't need you.
That's why I use this character.
Right.
But I
don't really got much to say about sound.
Sound design is there. We're not probably, if Marcus was here, he could probably give you his more in-depth sounds. Like,
right.
This is what the ambient sound is like, but he's not.
It's like
he doesn't even exist anymore.
It's almost like he's not even here in spirit anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so the graphics. The graphics are something that, like, are either really amazing or just straight up bad.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Every time I get introduced into a new world and there's something in the distance and it's just dropping fucking frames. Like, not even, like, one frame.
Yeah.
Like, the animation for it has lost 10 fucking frames. And I'm like, this is so infuriating.
That's
like,
have you had that any problem?
No. Cam?
Me neither, actually.
Like,
standard.
Like, this is something I'm paying attention to very, like, I'm like, everything up close looks amazing from a graphical standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, this looks like something that, like,
Like, it's no Horizon.
It's no Horizon, but like a lot of detail in of the world design. I'm like, this is fine. And then I see like the flying monsters in the background, and they're just going. You can't see me, but I'm minding my arms going up and down, yeah, right. Missing the frame where it actually moves. And I'm like, wow, like it infuriates me, but it doesn't take me out of the game. Like, I've never been one of those like frames per second, 60 FPS, 1080p kind of guy. But it's like,
I have not had that problem, man. Yeah. It's just, to me, it looks good. I mean, it's nothing that blew me away. It's just, it looks good, you know? I don't got nothing to say really about graphics. What about y'all?
Okay, so I actually do have something to say about graphics. I am...
Like, I don't want to take no pictures. It's no Assassin's Creed Origin.
Yeah, so, like, that's my take on it. I feel like, in terms of what the graphics need to do, I think the graphics does. But anything beyond that, the graphics fail. So, when it comes to... Like, when I think of, like... I don't want to make this comparison, but Horizon... I really shouldn't compare the two games.
Well, but Aloy's in the game, so they call the comparison.
I mean, is she though?
I think her content
is like March something.
Yeah,
March
8th. The 28th. And, yeah.
Is it? Oh. Yeah. But yeah, like when it comes to like the graphics, for me, I feel that certain things work and then other things don't work. When it comes to the armor, I think the armor looks great. When it comes to characters, as Cam say, I don't think they work at all. When it comes to your Palico, I think the Palico looks awesome.
Yeah.
Basically, what I am getting at is they clearly put time on certain aspects of the game. That, okay, this needs to look a certain way. This needs to look a certain way. The people, not so much.
So that's all games with
NPCs. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean... For me, I guess at the end of the day, it's a hit and miss. Like I'm really just looking and focusing on the monsters, and that's where the effort and time has been put. So for me, like that works. That's fine. When it comes to going into the hub and dealing with those people, I try to make that as quick as possible. And at the end of the day, really, like you're just looking at menus. There's not necessarily people.
Hey man, at least it's not Fortnite.
Yeah,
and that's something I will say about Fortnite. The fact that I started playing menus? That game and yeah. they're just menus. Like,
yeah, yeah, those menus are not good as well.
I deleted that joint straight
up. Nope. Yeah.
So
is that
that's the sort of the main.
That was the last bullet point.
So yeah. how about this? I mean, clearly we pressed X on it because we're still playing it. And despite our grievances,
despite your grievances,
despite me and DJ, we play together. We literally. Playing about the same thing,
yep.
And then we say, "Oh wow, look at this dope ass moment."
Let me tell you something. Last night,
yeah,
as I was saying previously, my wife was mad at me for my wife was mad at me because I was mad at the game, and I was so angry at the game. I believe a little bit after she had went upstairs, mm-hmm. and she had asked me, "What are you gonna do?" I'm going to play Monster Hunter.
Like, same thing I always... So that brings to a point, like, so for our listeners to kind of, like, tie it up, despite... We've probably said very few positive things about this game, actually, if you think about this review cast.
Yeah.
Would you... With that in mind, would you... Is this a game that our listeners should definitely own? Or is it one that, you know, they should definitely wait until it's on sale? Or just skip over it?
You want to go?
For me, if you see, this is the best Monster Hunter game. All Monster Hunter, veterans have said this is the best Monster Hunter game mm-hmm. ever made. And from what I can tell, based on the zeitgeist it's created, it is the easiest game for a new person to get into. Mm-hmm. So if you've heard of Monster Hunter, always thought it was a cool idea, but could never get into its handheldness or any of its other eccentricities, this is a good game to jump on.
Yeah.
I think... I've said some things about how I think they're going to start doing DLC and things like that, but we're going to get to a point where this is the game as a service. Yeah. We're going to get to a point where they're not going to be able to keep the momentum of current gameplay working. Because mm-hmm. I will tell you right now, as I'm doing some of the end game content, most people playing the game have moved past where I'm at right now. So matchmaking for hunting certain low low monsters. Sort of a difficulty. So,
yeah.
And we are, this game came out end of January.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are recording this end of February.
Yeah.
We're in the first, we're at the tail end of this game's really first month.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you weren't already jumping on this bandwagon when it started,
mm-hmm.
that jumping on,
you might miss the
jumping
boat.
On now probably wouldn't be the best thing.
Yeah.
So actually, brings up my point. I don't think this DLC makes sense. Or so far, what I've seen by the content they've put out, like for example, Horizon,
Street Fighter,
either with the Horizon content, you weren't, unless you were playing Monster Hunter like night and day all day, you weren't at the point where you could actually get the content.
Yeah.
Or with the Street Fighter, it's like I watched people play. I was like, this is stupid.
It doesn't.
Street Fighter requires you to have Street Fighter, like the actual game.
Yeah. You basically unlock Ryu as a costume, and you get the Hadouken.
Yeah.
Well, and the uppercut as well.
Yeah. Well, Shinko Hadouken. They're Capcom incentives.
Yeah.
From what I'm talking about with the DLC is, the game comes like 12 monsters. They've already started introducing monsters from other Monster Hunter games in the game. Like for the last, couple of weeks.
Wait, is it?
Keenan was in the game, which was the Lightning Horse.
Yeah.
That's not in the game proper.
Right.
That is part of its DLC.
Oh wow.
That was another thing too. Like I noticed that, and I was like, I wish I was at a high enough level to actually fight this thing right now, which was kind of. I mean, I kind of understand why they did mainlining Monster Hunter.
Like, I started playing this game, I started getting into the open, like the actual multiplayer aspect of the game. I saw people were like rank 50 something
in
the first couple of days.
Yeah.
This isn't like Destiny 2, where like there was a very easy ride of everyone at the same level. Mm-hmm. Even those guys who got max level, they got to a level where they like it got to a cap. This is like, no, they let,
keep going.
They let the veterans just go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, so where I would put it is, I mean, based off of what Avery's saying, based on how I feel, to me, this is a game that I think you'll enjoy it. I mean, there's some parts that are really, really frustrating. I think you'll enjoy it. And as someone who's first time into Monster Hunter, if you're going to get it, I think you should get it when it's on sale.
Okay.
One, because if you haven't bought it now, like Avery's saying, and you want to play with people, and you don't have the benefit of a Press X community, then I would... Like the matchmaking, you might struggle with that in the beginning. And so I would say just wait till it's on sale. But
okay. Yeah. So I guess my take on this is I think if you are interested in anything that we've said or anybody else said about this game in terms of what you do in the game, go for it. When it comes to matchmaking, I guess I really haven't had that much issue finding.
I play this game primarily by myself. The only time I matchmake is when I've already hunted and killed a monster enough times where I feel like I'm comfortable with its rhythm, and I just want to get it done.
Okay,
so like
okay.
I have other people there, and
it's not necessarily the difficulty of monsters, just speeding it up.
Yeah.
Okay. I see. So yeah, because like for me right now, when it comes to matchmaking, like every once in a while, I'll like fight like one of the low rank monsters, but in a high rank setting. But when it comes to actually fighting like a lowering monster, I can just do it by myself. But in terms of
I'm gonna play tonight.
So. Yeah, I should be on tonight. Okay. I don't think anyways, that's whatever. I think as much grief and as much anger this game caused me, I think this is generally just a really good game.
Yeah.
And it's good to the point where, although it's infuriating sometimes, the positives to it and like the high moments are really, really, really high. And like, quick story. Earlier today, before podcast, I was fighting a Bazelgeese. You haven't encountered it yet. I don't think. We're not ruining it. I was fighting one of these damn things and. I literally jumped into the match. It was three other people. We were going at it. I was quote unquote helping. And instead of slaying it, someone captured it. So I was able to jump into this match. There's no way I could beat that thing by myself right now. But we captured it and I ended up getting a bunch of like rewards for it. And I was just like, oh my God, this is awesome. Because there's no way I'll be able to do that.
I will say one more thing before we wrap this up. For me, I think one of the reasons why you guys came off as negative on this game as possible, as you can hear, is that for me, when I'm embracing any type of art, it's all about expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had my expectations set on a way, like, I understand what a Monster Hunter game is. So when, like, things that, like, annoyed you guys started to bump up to me, I'm like, this is what Monster Hunter is.
Right, exactly. We didn't have that, like, foundation to go off of. But, yeah, I mean, I will say again, like, although we were being negative in this on this review cast, I think it was more so of us venting, but not necessarily, like, saying, oh, we hate this game.
Yeah, because literally on the mic, when with DJ, I said, oh, my God, I can't stand this game. And then, like, Androth and Arathalos will fight each other at the same time.
Yes.
Like, this game is the best.
You're right, ever. Exactly, you know? Yeah.
And so that's,
yeah,
I hate it and love it at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a complex web of emotions.
Yeah. Well, there's Spider Monster.
Awesome.
They haven't put that. Any of them. They haven't, have a fear, they haven't put the tiger monster in, the bear monster, the monkey monster. They haven't put any of that stuff in.
Ooh.
That's what I'm super excited about. Like, I don't have any games to play for the next month till Far Cry.
Yeah.
So this
I'm going to skip that. So.
This is where I'm. This is where I'm living right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
Well, this has been the Press X to Start podcast, and we're here to bring you the games, the news, the funny, and our culture. And particularly on this podcast, we gave you the review of Monster Hunter World. Well, we hope you had a good time listening to us discuss Monster Hunter World. And if you like what you heard, consider checking out our website at Press X to Start. That's PressX2Start.com. And we'd love to connect with you there. But until next time, this has been Cameron.
I have been a Monster Hunter. Also named Astra.
And I'm Avery.
You're alive, bitch! I've been in the entire time!
Oh, shit. Peace.